on air, WICC 600, online, WICC600.com. Let's stimulate your brain with the Lisa Wexler Show.
Welcome back to the show. Good morning. It's a Friday. I hope you're going to have a great weekend. I'm delighted that it rained last night. Maybe it'll give us a little bit of break from this heat. Joining us now is the lone black Republican GOP member in the state Senate, maybe also in the state House here in Connecticut. I really don't know. But George Logan joins us right now. He has been clear about his opposition to the police reform accountability bill that was passed in the wee small hours of both mornings by the House and Senate. And he represents Ansonia. Senator Logan, hello. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Thanks for being on today. Hello. Good morning.
Thank you, Lisa. I want to say hi to you and all your listeners out there. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
It's really wonderful to have you. So let me just say that we've had a bunch of different legislators on. And Representative Jonathan Steinberg, who ended up voting against his caucus on the issue of qualified immunity, but with his caucus overall passing the bill, said that he felt that there was an intimidation factor going on among the Democrats, which he thought was very unfortunate. And Kathy Sprague, a senator, was quoted recently in the paper, she's also a Democrat, as saying that she thought it was very unfortunate that people made this very personal and appeared to imply, among Democrats, mind you, that you were racist if you voted against this reform. Now, you're a black man, you're a Republican. I'm curious how you respond to the race element of what's going on here, the underlying context of some of the debate.
Yeah, I mean, I think others would have to speak to that. But in terms of police reform, I am absolutely on board and in favor of police reform, you know, of practical and responsible police reform. Last year in the Senate, we passed unanimously Senate Bill 380, which, you know, did things like created a task force to look at accountability and transparency. And the task force's goal was to make and come up with recommendations for the legislature, right, to act upon moving forward. We did more in terms of reporting, in terms of the excessive use of force and chokeholds, that sort of thing. Even the bill that passed, there are certainly elements of the bill that I was supportive of, that being more police training, revisions to drug and alcohol testing for police officers, including frequency, psychological evaluations, periodic psychological evaluations, even oversight in terms of some aspect of civilian oversight for complaints. Those are all good things. But the problem is that the handling of qualified immunity was just so problematic that it outweighed all of the positive aspects of the bill. If you come up with a police reform bill that's going to put us at more risk in terms of hurting public safety, putting folks in my district more at risk and more at harm, I've got a problem with that. So the fact that this bill was rushed through in a special session and didn't go through the normal process that we do for vetting bills and creating law with committees and public hearings, it's problematic. And even if you look at when the law is supposed to go into effect, it's next year. So why are we rushing it now during a special session in 2020, in July? All those aspects. So the bill.
So why was it rushed, Senator Logan? Why was it rushed?
Well, quite frankly, I believe it was rushed because I think the majority party here in Connecticut wanted to put something through so they could say during this campaign election season that they put something through for police reform. And the details be darned. I never vote on a bill simply based on the title of the bill. The details are very important. And in this particular case, we are putting our law enforcement officers who are men and women, their mothers, fathers, our neighbors, we're putting them at risk, both their physical well-being for doing their job, and not to mention financially we're putting them at risk as well, because they would be opened up to directly to lots of personal individual lawsuits, many of which will be frivolous. And even if they're found to be doing their job in accordance to the standards and in accordance to the law, they'll still have to buy insurance, or someone will have to buy liability insurance for them. You'll still have to pay for lawyers and defend them so they can prove that they were doing their job within the accordance of, you know, of the law.
I know.
Problematic in lots of ways.
I know. We're chatting with Senator George Logan, who is of the GOP, represents Ansonia, the lone black member of the GOP. 203-333-9422 is our number if you want to call and comment. Let me just play devil's advocate for a little bit, because the wording of the bill seems to be giving a lot of Democrats like Senator Martin Looney cover. They're claiming that, look, if you do your job, you've got nothing to be afraid of. And you would have to go through a jury trial before an actual police officer's personal property would be able to be vulnerable. More likely than that, the municipality's insurance policy is going to pay for it because they're required to indemnify. And in any event, if a police officer does what they're doing in good faith, then there's no liability at all. So, you know, what do you say to that when they cite the language of the statute itself? What do you say?
So if you're a police officer, and even you take all that into account, do you want to go through that over and over and over again, repeatedly, every time you go out to do your job, every time you make an arrest, every time you apprehend a suspect? The issue is that the number of personal lawsuits against police officers are going to go through the roof. So it's not going to be a matter of defending yourself once and then you're all set for the future. You will be police officers will be opened up and will be dealing with these types of lawsuits on a regular basis. They will be spending a significant amount of their time defending themselves for doing their jobs. And that's why qualified immunity, you know, has its roots in federal law, right, Lisa? And in terms of protecting government workers, including municipal workers, such as sanitary workers and librarians, for not being sued for doing their jobs. What this bill does is that it puts the onus now on police officers to prove repeatedly, over and over again, that they acted in accordance with their job. And that's what's problematic. And it's going to cost more money for police departments to run because of all these attorneys you're going to have to hire. You're going to have to it's going to bog down the court systems with all these various lawsuits. If you get if an individual gets arrested, it's not like you're going to a doctor's office for a visit. These are not police officers are making arrests. The folks that they're dealing with are not happy with what's happening to them. So they're going to defend themselves and use whatever means they can. And what if you're an attorney defending someone who was arrested? How do you not sue the individual police officer? Because then you could be charged with perhaps not not doing your job, not doing your duty, not defending, you know, your client properly. So those are all the issues that I have problems and issues with. And so when they say you have nothing to worry about if you're doing your job, I can list, again, 10 different ways. And if you're a police officer and you're a single mother or you have children and you have a savings, a trust for your kids to go to college, or you have a home, you know, many police officers are in their 20s and their 30s. They just purchased their first homes. They're making maybe $70,000 to $80,000 a year. It's problematic. Not to mention the reputational issue. Not to mention the added stress to police officers. Now, look, I do believe that we need to do more in terms of police reform. We always need to improve our policing. We always need to make improvements. No question about it. I think that equality is important. Justice is important. And there certainly are a segment of the population who don't feel that law enforcement is there to protect and serve them. So we cannot ignore that. We must address that, but we must do it in a practical and responsible manner. And the bill that was passed this month in the legislature is not that bill. It does not do that, and it doesn't really address the issue at hand in terms of increasing police accountability. It just increases cost. It will reduce funding available for police officers. So what you're going to find is less police officers available to actually do patrols, because police departments are now going to spend a much larger chunk of their department funding towards higher insurance, paying for attorneys and lawyers, defending their police officers. Less police officers on the roads patrolling will mean that the public will be more at risk. Police will be able will now have to be less proactive, more reactionary. It's problematic in so many different levels. And it's not just the urban areas. Urban areas, suburban areas, look at what's happening now. Even now, we have crime is increasing throughout our communities in Connecticut, whether it's car robberies, whether it's shootings, folks are going into suburban areas and breaking into cars in the middle of the night. Folks are being carjacked as they're just minding their own business driving. I want people in Connecticut to feel safe, that they can actually live their lives without fear of being robbed or the victims of criminal activity. And so a bill that puts the Connecticut residents more at risk is not something that I can support. Now, I believe that we can make police reform. We can reach true equality and make sure that everyone is getting the right justice without sacrificing, without putting our police officers in more danger and more risk, without putting the general public in more danger and risk. And so that's my issue with the bill that was passed.
Do we still have Howard from Stratford on hold? A caller wanted to contribute to this conversation. Hi, Howard. Welcome. You're on the air with Senator George Logan of Ansonia. Welcome.
Hi, Lisa. Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I would agree with the senator. If you're going to be temper that bill just a little bit, perhaps. And I understand the intention, and I understand that it was political, but at the very least, the individual officer should be excluded from the liability. If the police department for a given town was sued and the town received that responsibility, then what would happen is your hierarchy, your individual mayors or town managers would do their diligence to make sure it would kind of ratchet up the communication levels between the chief of police and maybe make a more positive reaffirmment that the policemen are getting the proper allocation of money so that we have our best and brightest representing the street.
Thank you, Howard. Thank you for the comment.
That would be a
appreciate
plus,
it.
I think.
Thank you. Thank you for the comment. So, Senator Logan, George Logan of Ansonia, what do we do? What do we do now if you're foreseeing in the horizon that this is really going to be a problem for communities, all different communities, and really a problem to attract and retain good police officers? And as you said earlier, it's not even going to be in effect for another year. Are you going to be sponsoring legislation in the next upcoming session to try and get rid of this new qualified immunity piece?
Absolutely. So my goal would be to actually, make a change to portions of the police accountability law that was just passed. That's hurtful, particularly as it handles qualified immunity. As Harold made the point that he made, that under the current law, under qualified immunity as it stands now, it's not absolute immunity for police officers. It's qualified immunity. So if a police officer commits a criminal act, right, whether on duty or off duty, if a police officer acts in a reckless or malicious or wanted or willful manner, qualified immunity does not protect that offending officer from prosecution, right? So we have that right now. So what we're doing with this change to qualified immunity that was just passed is that, yes, you can still, individual can still sue the municipality for things like perhaps not training the police officer appropriately or neglect from leadership, right? That'll still happen. But what this law does, it adds another layer of lawsuits where an individual sue the municipality, perhaps sue the police department, and also sue the individual police officer. That is what the change in the law does, and that's what's going to cause all kinds of expenses and all kinds of ramifications.
So you're going to have a lot of you're going to have a really big job to do to persuade to get a majority to be able to amend this. It's not going to be easy to do.
Well, that's why I tell folks the November 3rd elections are very, very important. If you're not happy the way this police reform bill was handled, you can't expect these same legislators, right, to make the necessary changes. So on November 3rd, folks need to really look at the individual. And I'm not talking about party affiliation. Look at the individual, see what they stand for, see what that legislator, what he or she stands for, where do they fall on this particular bill, for example, right, and look at what are their reasons. Why did they ignore? Why were they, in my opinion, took the cowardly route if they felt that they were being pressured by other legislators? Are you kidding me? You're here to represent the people in your district. You need to make the right decisions. I mean, look at me. I mean, I'm making this decision based on the fact that I think it's actually going to be overall more hurtful to our community than helpful, even though there are aspects of this bill that I have consistently over the years, fought for, including, police reform is a priority of mine. However, it doesn't mean at any cost. You cannot pass a bad bill with bad legislation to try to expect a good outcome. It is all related, and the overall effect of this bill is not good for the people of Connecticut, regardless of which community you're from.
Senator George Logan, thank you very much for being on the show. I hope you'll come back. I'm sorry I'm not in the studio to be able to meet you in person, and you wouldn't be able to come in the studio to meet me in person. But hopefully we'll get this past us soon, and I'll be able to meet you in person. I look forward to it, and I also want to hear about your career as a musician.
Super. Sounds good, Lisa. Looking forward to meeting you in person. All righty.
Thank you very much. Senator George Logan of Ansonia on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.